Hello, this is John Alsop, and this is your Internet Marketing 5 a Day. Starting off with a tension, really, between good copywriting, which wants to be succinct and led by the benefits. So the benefits are you'll feel great, your hair will look lovely, you'll be more able to get through the day, those kinds of things. But those are not very good SEO terms, search engine optimization. When people search, they don't search for "I want to feel great." They search for pain relief or energy boosting or something more, a lot more specific. So in your copy on a web page, you need to mention the kinds of things that people will search for so that they can find you. And so that's a tension between the copywriter's want and desire to be very benefits-led and the SEO people who want to mention all of those specifics that people might be searching for. So one way to get around that is to have the headlines or the kind of attention-grabbing stuff succinct and benefits-led, but then use bullets to get into detail for SEO. That's just one way of doing it. Next up is, if you put into Twitter, if you tweet and you use a link, let's say you link to, obviously if you link to your own website, you can see in analytics that people have arrived on your site from Twitter, so that's measurable. But if you're tweeting, I mean, as I am, just really for convenience, I think I make about 30p a month on commissions, but a lot of the time I'm giving examples from books, and so it seems reasonable to link you to the book that I'm talking about, and the most reasonable place seems to be Amazon, and so I use a link that, yeah, okay, if you did buy the book, I'd get 5p or whatever. That seems fair. And then, so in Amazon then, as an affiliate, I can see the number of links, the number of clicks, the number of arrivals, the number of visitors to the Amazon site as a result of the links that I've been putting up. So that's fine. But if you are linking out to other pages that you don't have any connection with, then obviously you can't see how many people clicked through. And should you wish to, you could use something like bit.ly as a link shortener, because once you open an account with Bitly, it will show you how many people clicked that link. Now, what I use, you've probably noticed, is timely.is, I think it is. Yeah, timely.is, to schedule tweets through the day, and they report on how many people click through. Now, later on, what's actually just recently happened is with my 1,330 followers, I used to get one or two clicks, maybe three clicks. So it was, let's say, one click for every 500 follower. Now, suddenly, starting from Tuesday, it went up to 16, 19, 23, 38, 50. 50 clicks where I used to get three. So I think what's happened here now, I know in the Amazon account, I can see that same level of increase of visitors. I think there were 500 visitors to one of the links. Yesterday to Amazon from this. And just to be clear, I'm not making money out of... I'm collecting it. If it's there, fine. But I think 2 months ago I made zero. Last month I made 63p, I think. And this month is zero. And so that's added evidence that the people who are clicking through are not actually people, but they're some kind of bot. Some kind of... search engine or something. So this rise in traffic that I've suddenly got, I think perhaps the 1, 2, 3, 4 click-throughs were real people, and now it's actually been masked by the 50 clicks that are 90% bot related. And in due course you'll see a link to some research on that. So I'll kind of work on that. But so what I'm saying is you can use the bit.ly to see how many click-throughs, but how many click-throughs may not be interesting information. Actually, what you need perhaps is just how many sales. Be careful what you measure is really the theme of that. So actually this next one is I used to be able to say "and your favourite was," and I was quite enjoying that, but now it's all bots and nonsense. It masks the reality, so I can't say that. But there is this idea of trying to make sure that you get across in your headlines and subheadlines your value proposition. So, let's see where this is from. It's actually from a Forbes article about conversion strategies. So perhaps... this is the role for headlines and subheads, is to deliver, make sure that it hits the value proposition. And I've linked through to what a value proposition is on Wikipedia, and there are lots of kind of views on it. I like Neil Rackham. I've read a few of his things. And there's a statement in here that says, Neil Rackham believes that a value proposition statement should consist of four main parts. Capability, so we can do this for you. Impact, so you don't have to do it, which means that you can rest assured that it's being taken care of and you can spend your time doing other things that you really want to do. That sounds like the benefit to me. Proof, testimonials, that kind of thing, and the cost. So then we've got, we can do it. Here's what your life will be like if you come to us. Here's the proof that I'm not talking rubbish, and here's the cost of it. And so you've established that kind of value proposition. The value is the cost minus the benefits minus the cost. And that is always your kind of sales approach, is what I'm trying to talk to you about is better than how you're doing it at the moment. And better means there's value in doing this, and that's your value proposition. Okay, so next up, again, this is a conversion thing, but it's really, this is about, again, it's from the Web Credibility Project, Stanford Guidelines. If you are a member of professional organisations, Chamber of Commerce, that kind of thing, it is worth mentioning it. It's, you know, put up the crest if you like. It's not a big deal, but yeah, do it. Just because it builds credibility. And finally, somebody mentioned when I did the short URL thing, the bit.ly, somebody said, yeah, but that's a security risk because when you click on a short URL, you can't see where you're going to end up. And so it's a security risk, which it is, fine. You can get, if you Google for long URL, short URL expander, something like that, you'll probably find and add on it Explorer or Firefox or whatever your browser is, then you'll probably be able to find an add-on that you can put in your browser that when you roll over a short URL, it'll tell you where it's going. So that's one way forward. The other thing that is that in context, when you're following me on Twitter, hopefully there's an element of trust there that I won't link you through to a bad site because that's my reputation on the line. So that's there's some trust there. So, and the other thing, of course, is that so that person's point was partly that fewer people will click on a short URL. And I think that within Twitter, where you've got 140 characters to play with, perhaps the fewer people who would click on a short URL is offset by the extra persuasive text that you can put around the short URL to persuade them to click, because some URLs anyway are longer than 140 characters, so it would just ultimately a tweet could just be a link if we didn't use them. So it's just an ex, you know, a bit of an exploration of that, and that is pretty much it. Now I'm not going to be around tomorrow, so there's not going to be a Friday one, and we will be back together on Monday. Have a great, is it a bank holiday? It's probably a bank holiday, but I don't care about that. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again when we talk again. Bye.